Crosstalk Online Radio, episode number 23. Today we're talking about how to give up and press through to success.
We know you love your church and ministry, but you care more about people coming to your ministry looking for answers. Broadcasting from the beautiful lakes of Minnesota and the Twin Cities, welcome to Crosstalk Online Radio with Jason Sism. This podcast is where faith becomes life by equipping you for success in your family, ministry, and life. In this popular show, you come to get the tools you need to transform lives and reach your community for Christ. So come along, be refreshed, and draw near to the heart of God. Now here's your host, Jason Sism.
All right, my friends, and succeeding in our family ministries and life is exactly my very favorite thing to do. And I hope it's your favorite thing to do as well. Well, welcome to Crosstalk Online Radio. My name is Jason Sism. So glad that you are here. But let me ask you this question. Do you find yourself wanting to give up? Do you simply want to hang up the hat and maybe get that job at Walmart and hand out those little smiley stickers? Well, sometimes it's easier to give up than it is to press through and see success. Well, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about what it takes to leave behind self-doubt and press through to victory. We're also going to go through John Maxwell's devotional book on leadership, and I got a great tip for you this week, how to write an ebook for your congregation that's going to cost you nothing more than just your time. All of this and more on today's episode. All right, my friends, well, welcome to Crosstalk Online Radio. And we got a great episode in store for you. I know I say that all the time, but I just get so excited. And this is probably why I've mainly just gone to podcasting on my blog, because I just love talking to you. I find that it's so much more inviting and so much more conversational, and we get to just have so much fun together. So that's what we're doing. You found that last week I only had one post out on the website, and that was the podcast. This week I got a couple posts out there, and you know, we're just gonna have fun. And that's the whole point of life, is to have fun. And if you can't have fun in life and you can't have fun in ministry, then what is the point? Well, today we're gonna be talking about what it means to give up. And how do we give up our stress? How do we give up everything that kind of holds us back so that we can press through to succeed? And I know I said sometimes it's just easy to hang up the hat and get that job out at Walmart handing out those little smiley stickers. And I'm not saying that's what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to be a mascot for a restaurant and going to be in those sweaty suits out in the hot sun. But, you know, sometimes we feel that that is going to be easier than it is to deal with people day in and day out at the church. So, but before we get going any further, I have a great tip of the week for you. You know, sometimes writing devotionals, you know, they're definitely time-consuming. And I know writing sermons are very time-consuming. But have you ever thought about, instead of just sending out a weekly letter to your congregation, you know, though that's not a bad idea, but what about you take a collection of those and you craft an ebook? Now, sometimes you think that making an ebook is going to cost a lot of money. Well, doesn't have to cost a lot of money. And sometimes we find that if we just take a little bit of time, a little bit of tenacity, we can create something that our congregation is really going to like. And one of the great ways to do that is to utilize ebooks. Now, I have, for our church, I've not done necessarily the ebook, but I have done a 30-day devotional that we put out for one of our capital campaigns, and it was a devotional on finances. And we put out this devotional. We opened it up to the writers in the church, and we said, we would love for you to write a 200 to 300 word devotional. And that's about all the more you really want devotionals to be. Because if they're any larger than 200 to 300 words, people are going to kind of tune out and they're not going to read them. And so what is really kind of fun is there's a program that I have recently found on the Mac. Now, if you've got a PC, I'll get into that in a moment, but I'm just talking about a Mac program that we have right now called iBooks Author. Now, iBooks Author is a free app that you can download from the App Store. And what this ebook creator does is it gives you templates. Now, for the goodness sakes, use a template. Don't try to create something from scratch. Use a template and make a beautiful ebook. And then you can save it as an EPUB format, and you can have it available to download on people's Nook devices or tablets so they can read it. You can have it as a PDF, and people will be able to read it as a PDF on their computers. It's going to be beautiful with beautiful colors. It gives you all the tools that you need to make an ebook. All you have to do is plug your information in, and I'm telling you, the thing will format itself. So even if you're not very tech savvy, if you just input the information, it's going to look beautiful. Now, another thing you can do if you're on a PC is there is PowerPoint. You can make a beautiful looking ebook using PowerPoint, and then you export it as a PDF. And then what you can do is you can make these devotionals available on your website for people to download for free. And it's a great tool, a great resource that you can give your people to help them go further in their walks with God. All right, my friends, and welcome to my other favorite part of the show. This is the Leader's Corner. And in today's corner, we're going to be again looking at John Maxwell's devotional book on leadership. If you've not purchased the book yet and supported the production of this podcast, you can do so at jbcism.com. Click store and recommended reading, and you can buy it there. Well, today's episode, we are talking about raising up a leader takes time. Well, let's take a look at the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, set before him Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. John Maxwell writes this in the Maxwell Leadership Bible. All of the wonderful ways Moses expressed his leadership, the most strategic had to be his training of Joshua. Moses passed along his authority, abilities, and anointing to Joshua. He gave Joshua his time, his insight, a learning environment, an opportunity to prove himself, and a strong belief in his future. The interaction of Moses and Joshua demonstrates that reproducing leaders is not a quick, simple process. It requires time, emotional investment, and sacrifice. And when you begin developing the next generation of leaders, recognize that your protégés will need certain things. Number one, from themselves: conviction, courage, and obedience. Number two, from their mentor, equipping. Number three, from God, vision. Number four, from the people, buy-in. With time, investment, and sacrifice, you will build a legacy of leadership. You know, that is one of the things we really want to establish in leaders, especially the young leaders in our congregations. We want to establish a relationship, a mentorship with them so that they can go further in their walks with God. And one of the best ways to do that is to take them under your wing and give them the tools that they need to succeed. And the thing you have to be looking for in these people is conviction, courage, and obedience. So if you give somebody a task to accomplish, you want to be looking at them with the mindset of, are they accomplishing this task? And are they doing what I've asked of them with character? And if we can answer the question, yes, answer those questions with the word yes, then we very may well have found the person we need to be investing our leadership into in hopes that they will become a great leader within our church. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen overnight. It doesn't mean that people are going to rise to the occasion. Sure, yeah, they may fall and they may fail, but the thing is, if they remain true to the vision and they may remain true to you and the cause of the church, you know you have somebody that you can truly invest in. And the thing is, Moses saw something in Joshua that Moses wanted to bring out. He saw something in Joshua and said, this guy can be a great leader. And we have to be looking at people in our congregations with a keen eye and saying, do they have what it takes to be a great leader? And sometimes we just have to take a seat, take a look around, and see whom God may be putting on our path to raise up as our own personal Joshua. And now we come to our feature presentation. This is why you stick around for this podcast. Well, today I got a great topic in store for you. How to give up and press through to success. So why do we give up? What are some of the underlying issues we must learn to deal with to find success in our life? How do we make an account of our failures or our shortcomings? And how do we set aside the time to make sure that we aren't just truly wanting to give up, but maybe we're just stressed and in need of a breather? Well, today I hope to look at these issues. Well, I want to look at four different areas we need to be looking for, or four things that happen in our life that give us this idea that maybe it's just time to hang up the hat. Well, number one, I'm going to dive right in here. Number one is maybe you're just stressed and overworked. Stressed and overworked. You see, I think so many times we find that we have way too many things on our plate to effectively even get done during the day. We really take the time to structure our day properly. And we arrive at the office, we're already tired because we're tired from the previous day. And when we sit down at our desk, we open up our computer, and instead of, you know, doing the most immediate things we need to get done right away, we put off our big projects to the end of the day, and we kind of do the menial task, we do the simple task, and we kind of go through this cycle of, you know, I'll just put the big project off and in hopes that I will eventually get to it. And next thing you know, days go by and we haven't even done the project yet. Now, I gotta tell you, I am a glutton for punishment. I am really bad at this. This is why I'm talking about it, because I need to work on this in my own life. I tend to put things off and I don't necessarily structure my day very well. But this is something I'm getting really focused on, because I believe the importance of getting the big projects done. Well, I have this big project looming. I got to get stuff to a printer in two different organizations, and it seems like time is fastly approached and the day is already here. Well, now I've got to sit down and do them. Well, the thing is, I procrastinated on this, and you know, not that I really meant to, it's just I knew it was a big project and I knew it was going to take time, and so I figured I'd do all these other little things. Well, that really isn't the best way to handle our workload. I find that it's best to focus early in the morning on the most important tasks. Now, this, of course, comes after I open my computer, I check the emails that came in late in the afternoon and over the evening, and maybe early in the morning. I go through all of my emails and I make sure that my inbox gets to zero before I really begin anything. I make sure that I focus on some leadership training and leadership material that I read. I do that early in the morning to make sure that it's the first thing I do to kind of strengthen my mind, strengthen my resolve. And all of those only take just maybe an hour of my day in the morning, or maybe 2 hours at the most. And then what I want to do is I want to work on the next big thing. What's the next big thing on my to-do list for that day? Not for the week, just for that day. Because I believe stress is one of the things that causes us to freak out and stop. And when we are stressed, we become less effective. And so one of the best things we can do to combat stress is to focus on the most immediate thing that needs to be done. And so because it's still maybe only 10 o'clock in the morning, now I can focus on the big project I need to do. Why? Because I don't have the email stuck in the back of my mind. I actually will turn it off for the morning, and that way I can focus on other things. And then I get to work right away, and I try to get a big project done before lunch. That doesn't mean it's always going to happen. Yes, there's going to be distractions. Yes, you're going to get phone calls. Yes, you're going to be fiddling around on some not very important task, but you know, those things happen. But if you can do your best to focus on the most important task right away in the morning, because after lunch we're tired because we've eaten, we are less focused, and usually that's when we catch up on our emails in the afternoon, because we've had them off during the morning, so you can turn your email back on. You go through them again in the early afternoon. You return phone calls if you need to return phone calls. And you schedule your meetings in the afternoon. That way, you're focusing on your tasks in the morning, and your meetings are in the afternoon, because sometimes it's easier to do a meeting in the afternoon than it is in the morning. Because when you get done with a meeting, you're already tired from the day. And so you don't want to work on your big project after a morning meeting usually. So that's why I try to schedule my meetings in the afternoon. So we find that we are overworked. Well, the best thing that we can do is focus on those most important tasks that we need to accomplish. Do the medium and small tasks at the end of the day when we are less focused. I hope that makes sense. Number two, you're not getting enough sleep. Now, I believe lack of sleep is one of the greatest enemies to us being successful. Not only are we just stressed because of all the stuff we got on our plate, but we find that when we get not very much sleep in the evenings or at nighttime, we're definitely not going to have the energy or the focus to press through each day. So what we have to learn to do is actually go to bed earlier. Now, that may sound silly. Like, Jason, why Why are you even telling me this? You mean I subscribe to your podcast for you to tell me that I need more sleep? Yes, I'm telling you, you need more sleep. Because if you tell me that caffeine doesn't bother you, well, stop drinking caffeine after about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Number two is go to bed earlier and get sleep that you need. And I find that if I go to bed at 11, I'm going to wake up at about 7. If you go to bed at 10, you're going to wake up at 6. You know, so find that happy spot where you can go to bed, and don't go to bed when you're tired. Go to bed before you get tired. That sounds really odd, but if you go to bed before you get tired, you're going to find that you're going to be more refreshed in the morning. And the best thing to do is get up earlier in the morning. Now, that sounds goofy, and I don't always do that, but I find that if I go to bed earlier, I'm getting up earlier, and then by the time mid-morning rolls around, you're like, holy cow, I have done a truckload of work. And that's because you are focused on getting everything done that you can in the morning. And so when the afternoon hits, yeah, you've run out of energy, but you can now still focus on some things that need to get done. And when we find, and it's actually studies have proven, that if you get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, now that can be, you know, really 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep. 7 hours is almost a little too little of sleep. I try to get 8 hours of sleep. That way I am focused most of the day. Now, I don't always go to bed early, but I find that if I at least get 8 hours of sleep, I'm going to fare better. But the best thing to do is make sure you don't go to bed when you're tired. And if you feel that you are wide awake, get up and read a book. Kind of shut your mind down a little bit. Read a book for about a half hour to 45 minutes, and you're going to find that you are relaxed enough that when you do lay down, you're going to go to sleep right away. And so one of the best things that we can do to help lessen the stress level in our life is make sure we're getting at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. Don't skip it. And then if you really want to be refreshed in the morning, drink a full glass of water right away in the morning. Take some big, deep breaths. Reoxygenate your body. And you're going to find that you are going to be effective. You're going to be stronger. And you're going to be a whole lot more alert. So number one, don't overwork yourself. Don't stop being stressed. Work on the big projects in the day and the littler projects in the afternoon. Number two, make sure you get enough sleep, because lack of sleep is our greatest enemy to being successful. Well, I'm going to take a short break, get a drink of water, and while I do that, I want you to listen to this promo. If you're like most of my readers, you want to succeed in your family, ministry, and life, and see others do the same. But the reality is, sometimes training effective leaders is difficult. That is why I wrote my new ebook called Start Your Engines: 3 Strategies to Running an Effective Small Group Now. This ebook is designed to take you to the next level as a leader, help you train others to be successful, and it gives you a simple template to do just that. You can't buy Start Your Engines, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free e-newsletter. This newsletter will let you know as soon as I post new content to my blog. This way, you don't have to remember my blog to stay up to date. Once you get the newsletter, click the links included and you'll be taken right to my website where you can read the latest content. To get your copy of my ebook, head over to jbsism.com. Click the link at the top right of the page, enter your information, and you'll receive in minutes your copy of my new ebook. And did I mention it's completely free? Don't guess on how to run effective small groups in your church. Sign up today to get your copy of Start Your Engines: 3 Strategies to Running an Effective Small Group Now. Available only at jbsism.com.
All right, my friends, if you've not
signed up for my ebook, I encourage you to do that. It's a great ebook. I've heard some positive comments about that ebook. So head over to the website, jbsism.com, and click the link at the top right hand of the page. And let me know how that is blessing your life and blessing your leaders' lives. Well, we've been looking at the topic of how to give up everything that we're doing in order to press through to success. Well, the first thing we looked at is that we are just simply overstressed and overworked. And then we find that we try to do too many things in our day without really taking the time to structure our day properly. So, in other words, focus early in the morning on the most important tasks that need accomplishment, and then do the medium and small tasks at the end of the day when we're less focused. Secondly, we looked at that we're not getting enough sleep. I said that lack of sleep is one of the greatest enemies to being successful. Not only are we stressed because of everything on our plate, we find that when we get less than 7 hours of sleep a night, we don't have the energy or the focus to push through each day. So what do we got to do? We have to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier, and that will revive our energy. So this brings us to number three. We don't take time to seek God's face. It's so easy in the busyness of our life, whether we work at a job, whether we're a pastor, whether we're just meeting with people, we're putting our sermons together, we're spending time with our family. You know, in the busyness of our life, we tend to forget the most important relationship of our life, and that's a relationship with God. And it's so easy to get up, go to work, meet people, put sermons together, spend time with family, and then go to bed. And then the next day we do the same thing. And then the next thing we do the same thing. And the next day we do the same thing. And then we arrive at Saturday, and then we rest. But instead of resting, we do all kinds of housework. Or maybe we finish the sermon or finish our PowerPoint. We do other menial work on the computer. And we get up on Sunday morning and then we preach and we come home and we watch the football game and go to sleep and take a nap and don't do much. And then next thing you know, weeks have gone by and maybe you've not really spent that time with God. And especially as ministers, because we're constantly in the Word of God, it's easy to correlate the idea in our minds that putting a sermon together and spending time in His Word to put a sermon together equates the same as daily devotions. Well, I'm here to tell you they're not the same. One is study so that you can help more people find true life in God and draw near to the heart of God. And then the other is getting to know God for yourself. And if we are more concerned about putting our sermon together and think that that's the same as our devotional life, we are gravely mistaken, and our spiritual life is actually going to suffer. You know, it takes time to spend with God. But the thing is, God desires our attention. And if we are not giving it to Him, our spirit's going to become thirsty. I mean, I encourage you to go out into the desert and try to go through your day without drinking any water. You're going to be sorry that you didn't. And you're going to become seriously dehydrated. The same happens in our spiritual life. If we don't take the time to invest into our relationship with God, our spirits become dry and they become withered. And my encouragement to you is take time to spend with God. Make it part of your daily routine. And the best time is right away in the morning, because you're going to be alert, you're going to be focused, and you're going to be able to pray and ask God to bless you for your week. And say, God, thank you so much for giving me this day. I pray that you give me the wisdom to conquer this day. I pray that you give me the tenacity to get the task that I need to get done. And I thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit to give me boldness, because if somebody calls into the church or walks into the building and they need a touch from your Holy Spirit, I pray that you give me the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to minister into their lives. And if we pray like that every morning, God's going to meet us. And then if we open up Scripture and we say, God, show me what you want to show me in your Scripture today, I'm telling you, my friends, God will meet you where you're at. And in fact, your sermons will become more powerful. Your message is going to be that much stronger if we take the time to spend our mornings and spend our day with the Lord in prayer and in His Word. Number four, we're just simply doing too much. See, as leaders, we like to pile more and more stuff on our plate. Why? So that we don't feel the need to stress other people out with more work. And so we put more on our plate so that others don't feel the stress that we do. But we don't have to endure this stress because we're simply the leader. It is okay, my friends, to let other people help you. You see, stress is caused because we are so focused on the future that we forget about the tasks we have to accomplish right now. So the question I ask is, what is the very next thing you have to do on your list? What is the very next thing? And if we can maybe even take some of these things from our plate, these future tasks, and give them to somebody else to accomplish, we're not only going to lighten our load, but we're going to also help others succeed in ministry. You know, if we go back to John Maxwell's book, you know, we want people who have conviction, courage, and obedience, but really from the mentor or us as the leader, we have to be the equipper. You know, the Bible says that our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so our goal as ministers is to take some of the stuff off of our plate, put it on the plate of other people, and ask them to run with it. Why? Because we want to help them succeed in ministry. We want to help them go far in their walks with God. And if we can do that by giving them just a simple task to do, boy, one, they're going to be so grateful because you have entrusted them with a piece of the ministry, but they are also going to be forever grateful because when they accomplish it and you give them that high praise, they're going to be not only loyal to you, but they're going to tell all of their friends what an awesome church that they have. You see, our goal as ministers is to empower people to do the work of the ministry. And so, you know, one, you don't have to be stressed and overworked. It's okay to structure your day and get the most important tasks done. Number two, get your sleep. Make sure that you're getting your rest, because you're not going to be any good to anybody if you are tired and weary and worn out. Number three, take time to seek God's face. Because we're so overworked, we forget our most important relationship. So it's okay to seek His face. He wants us to. And four, give work to other people to accomplish. Because when they feel that they are a valued part of the ministry, they are going to be at your beck and call, and they're also going to be your most loyal supporter. And here's the great part. They feel they are a part of the ministry, and they feel that they are helping you accomplish the vision of the church. And that's what people want. They want to know that you believe in them. But the great thing is it also allows you to get stuff off your plate and allow other people to succeed. And even if they don't succeed, that's okay. Now you can use it as a teaching lesson to help them go further in their walks with Jesus and help them draw near to the heart of God. Well, my friends, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with me today. If you could do me just a simple favor, I want you to head over to iTunes and rate this show. This is one way you can give back. And don't forget to subscribe. And if you leave a rating, I'm going to mention you on this show. Love to have you join me. Hey, you can also send me a voicemail. Just go to speakpipe.com/JBSism. And you can leave me a message there, ask me a question, and I'll address it on this show. Also, if you would like to sponsor an episode of this show, go to patreon.com/JBSism. Select how much you'd like to sponsor per episode, and you're only going to be billed for what you sponsor per month. Again, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Crosstalk Online Radio. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com/podcast or on iTunes. You can contact me at jbsism.com. This podcast is copyright 2015 by JB Sism Ministries, Living Lights Media, and Jason Sism. All rights reserved. Each week, my goal is to bring you tools to equip you for success in your family, your ministries, and your life. My friends, there's no success unless you first draw near to the heart of God. Well, my friends, make sure you get your rest, take some things off your plate, and you'll see success. Until next time, my friends, my name is Jason Sism, and I'll see you next week.